Well, good morning, church family. Wasn't it wonderful to celebrate new birth? Wonderful to celebrate a young man who places his faith and trust in Christ and wants to publicly declare it. And I think that's just such a delight. It's such a privilege in a church family to be involved in that testimony. And so I hope your hearts are full of joy this morning as you have seen Jensen obey Christ in being baptized, and a delight for Mum and Dad, for Glenn and Michelle, I'm sure, and it's just great to celebrate that. Hey, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's our privilege to have you with us today, whether you're watching online or whether you are here in person. And I guess I just want to say, because my heart's been kind of heavy, because We know what's been going on around our churches and communities a little bit. I know some of you are visiting here because of some things that have happened in your home church. And I just want to let you know that as a pastoral team and as an eldership, we hurt because you hurt. And we just want to be able to minister to you in whatever way we can. So thanks for joining us today. And we look forward to ministering to you through a time which we know is difficult. And but we know that our Sovereign Lord has you in this place for a purpose, and we just want to minister to you in that way. So our prayers are with you. Let me just pray for the offering that's just been taken up, and then we'll look at today's message. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the reminder of the grace that we have received through Christ. We thank you, it's by grace we are saved. It's not anything we do. We thank you that it's a miracle of your love demonstrated to us through Christ. Father, we thank you for this offering we can take up, and we pray that you will stir in our heart a heart of generosity towards giving towards your work. We're so thankful that we receive income. We're so thankful that you enable us to work. And we just pray that this offering will be given with the express purpose to see your kingdom grow. We thank you that you are doing your work here in South Australia, throughout this world, in the Philippines and New Zealand and the Eastern Bloc countries, through Africa. We just hear of your goodness time and time again, and we praise you for the renewing power of the gospel. And we thank you for the vivid reminder of that today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hey, this morning's a little bit different. It's a baptism service, so I'm just going to take a little sidetrack off our series in Genesis, and I'm just going to look at a topic today. And the topic is all about overcoming fear. And so it's going to be a slightly different format to normal. You know, it's interesting when we discuss or think about the topic of fear. I don't know if you thought about it much, but we can, when we think about fear, we know that in some situations it's a healthy thing. You know, for instance, if you're standing on a cliff edge with no barricade, and the wind is gusting around about you, it's probably a healthy thing to have a bit of dose of fear about what could happen, right? Because your actions will probably be, I'm going to step away from that cliff. That's a God-given response, I believe. You know, God places us in us an intelligence and a consciousness to avoid a situation that could potentially harm us. That's a healthy type of fear. Or perhaps you're in the middle of a bush and a bushfire starts and those sorts of, you see the flames coming. Well, fear would drive you to probably run, right? Probably to take off. And that's once again, a healthy type of fear. I remember when we lived in North America, we went on some camping trips in the middle of summer. We decided to go north of where we lived up into Canada. And we were tenting, so we were under canvas, and every camping ground we went to, you would see evidences of what bears do when they get hold of food. So one of our children became kind of fearful about being eaten by a bear, which is probably understandable, right? Because we're New Zealanders, we don't know what bears are. The most fearsome thing we have in New Zealand is a red-back spider. But, you know, so bears were there, and we had to work through that situation with our child and say, well, at the end of the day, dear, if God wants you to be eaten by a bear, so be it. That was our standard type of response. You know, if God wants you to be eaten by a bear, then that's the way it's going to be. No, but as parents, right, you take protection, you sort of do everything you do to protect, and you say, look, it's okay, there's people around the campsite, there's rangers, etc., and they'll take care of us if a bear comes into the park. Well, one night, the next morning, the ranger came to us and said, oh, did you hear the bear in the park last night? And we said, no. This bear was helping himself to some food about 50 feet away from where we were camping. But we were quite clever, because Julie and I were in a separate tent and our kids were in another tent. And it was funny because our daughters said, okay, Eli, our son, he can sit in the middle right by the door, so if the bear comes in first, that's who he's going to get. So, you know, that was a fear that is okay. However, fears become pretty unhealthy when they dictate your actions or lifestyle choices, right? That's when fear becomes really quite unhealthy. I'll give you an example. Say, for instance, you had, and you may have this fear, and if you do, we'll need to chat, but you might have a fear about driving over bridges. Imagine what that would be like if you had a fear about driving over bridges. You know, I mean, not just a, you know, avid fear about that. What would you have to do in your lifestyle to avoid driving over a bridge? Just think about that. What would you have to do? You'd have to consistently plan trips that avoided driving over bridges, right? Or you actually might have to ask somebody else to drive over the bridge for you so you can have your eyes shut as you go past it or over it. You see, if your fear was like that about driving over a bridge, your fear might be, well, if I drive over the bridge, I might crash. I just don't like the barriers too close to me. Or if I drive over that bridge, it might collapse. I might die, and who's going to look after my children, my family, etc.? That's how the fear starts working, right? You start thinking about all the consequences of being fearful. And when you dwell on fears like that, then they dominate your existence. So what does the Bible tell us about this type of response to fear? How do you overcome fear? And that's what we're going to look at briefly this morning. But have your Bibles. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to look at this morning at five responses that I hope are helpful to you. I don't know what your fears may be, but I know predominantly a lot of our fear comes from a fear of man. Fear of what man might say or think of you in relation to your Christian witness. You may also have a fear of God, an unhealthy fear. The Bible tells us that the beginning in wisdom is the fear of the Lord, a right and reverent awe of God. But we also may fear God because of potential punishment, potential aspects of our eternal life, and that also is a fear that should be unfounded and shouldn't be driving or dictating our lives. Romans 8, 14 to 17 says this: for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God with fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. One of the first things in overcoming fear is to be reminded of who you are in Christ. What do these words tell us? They're quite clear, aren't they? If you are led by the Spirit of God, when we see that in God's Word, if we are led by the Spirit of God, that means we have the Spirit of God within us. That means we have placed our faith and trust in Christ. And on that moment, in that time, the Spirit indwells us. The Paul's saying here, if you are led by the Spirit of God, i.e. if you have accepted Christ, you are sons of God. You are daughters of God. You are His children. Isn't that a marvelous truth? The Spirit of God dwells within you. You are His child. And then the very next instruction is, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Notice those words. But you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we now have this amazing, intimate relationship with the Father, where we can cry out, Abba, Father. So the first instance here, you struggle with fears. You need to be reminding yourself of who you are in Christ. And that the very Spirit of God that dwells within you is there and designed not to allow you to fall back into the slavery of fear. Listen to the words he uses, slavery or bondage of fear. That's what fear does. It binds us up and it creates a bondage. It doesn't release us to be walking in God's Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 has a similar instruction, and it says this: for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Of the very nature, if you place your faith in Christ, you don't have this spirit of fear, even though sometimes we fear, and we talk about that. So it's part of our sanctification, part of our ongoing walk and process of being under Christ's rule, that we learn to walk in power of love and self-discipline and with a sound mind, as opposed to fearing. You know, both these sets of verses state that we are no longer slaves to fear when we are led by the Holy Spirit. We're adopted into God's family. We are children of God. And we should be controlled by love and self-discipline. Fear should never overwhelm us. It's about having a eternal view, right? It's about having an eternal view of who you are in Christ. You know, and this also, we can see this in our society. You can see through the last 3 years the fear that has been around a pandemic, right? You see all sorts of actions and reactions to that particular disease in our society. And if you were to sum them all up, most of it is driven by fear. Most of it is driven by fear. We see when we act in a public square or space, if we decide to proclaim the name of Christ by being strong in that, by having our sermons up online, by having all sorts of, what's the word I'm trying to look for here? We make a stand for who Christ is and what He does in a public space. We should not fear men. When we start retreating because of we are fearful of what we speak about that is truth from God's Word, if we start retreating from that public square, we're fearing men and not God. That happens with you in your workplaces. It happens when you're in your tea and coffee rooms where the cultural topics of the day come up. I'm sure it's happened in the last week or so as this nation has celebrated, what is it, Global Pride Week? How is your conversation around those things? How can you lead people to Christ in your conversation? When you're not, you're fearing men, as opposed to realizing who you are in Christ. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says this, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that portion of scripture from Hebrews 13, Deuteronomy 31, 6 is quoted, and so is Psalm 118, verses 6 and 7. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's a wonderful truth, right? It's a wonderful truth to hold on to, that we are really before an audience of one, and that's the King of the universe. He is our master. He is our Lord. So why do we fear men? But firstly, remind yourselves of who you are in Christ and what the Word says about removing fear. Secondly, we take a psalm like Psalm 27, and the Lord is the believer's light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's a question. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The second clear point here is when you live in the light of the fact that you are His, that you are in Christ, who should you fear? What should you fear? Why should you fear? Because the Lord is our stronghold. He's our stronghold. And as we read through His Word, we see that time and time again. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the one that gives us peace that passes all understanding. He's the one that we can throw our anxieties and our burdens at His feet. And He carries them for us. And that's such an important thing to remember. Thirdly, Psalm 56 tells us that when we trust in God, He casts out our fear. I'll read just the elements of Psalm 56. Verse 1, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Verse 10, in God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? What a wonderful testimony that is from the psalmist, right? Firstly, he cries out, be gracious to me. That's the only way that we can come to the Lord of glory, asking for His continued grace and mercy to us. Be gracious to me in whatever circumstances I am, in whatever slander I'm receiving, in whatever attacker is attacking me, in whatever piece of oppression is rolling over the top of me like a blanket. And he cries out, and I think we need to cry out this more often, when I am afraid. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. It's the next line that's so important. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh or what can man do to me? When we trust in God, that seems to cast out fear. Fourthly, in Matthew chapter 10, we read this interesting account by Jesus. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Read that out of the NLT. Do not fear those who kill the body, but remember God cares for the sparrows. Isn't that so encouraging? Who grants eternal life? God and God alone. Man doesn't grant eternal life. Man can't affect your soul. There's only one entity that affects your soul, and that's the God of this universe. He's the one that determines eternal life or eternal damnation. And when he has protected your soul, look at that wonderful promise. Don't be afraid, because you're far more valuable than any sparrow. And God knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. Every sparrow that falls to the ground, God knows. If you are his, don't be afraid. You are more valuable. He will care, he will protect, he will guide. So often we give him away. So often we fail to yield to his will in our lives. And then that creates anxiety and fear. And finally, the fifth point. I think this is a helpful point because it's a practical point. You go to 1 John chapter 4. Read from 1 John already this morning. And thanks for that, Sonia, as we talked about the amazing love of God and how we have received God's mercy and his wrath has been satisfied because of the sacrifice of Jesus. A little bit further on in 1 John 4, verse 13, it says this. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that you may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is also, we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. It's an amazing few verses as you read through it. Firstly, right at the start, you have who we are in Christ yet again. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. What a wonderful promise. Can you claim that promise today? That you have the Son of God abiding in you through his Spirit? That's the only way that you'll overcome fear particularly of punishment in this context. That's an act of perfect love. A total act of perfect love that God, in his love, has provided his Son so that we can have a relationship with him. And in many senses, that is why there is no fear in love. When we look at that perfect love casts out fear of punishment, fear of, oh, I'm not good enough. It's the beauty of this particular portion of Scripture. It reminds us so vividly that Christ, who is perfect love, casts out fear when we abide in him. You see, fear, love is self-giving and fear is self-protecting. Let's think about the garden. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? They went in self-protection mode. They ran and they hid from God. Now, that's an oxymoron. All right? Their actions were they tried to run and they tried to hide. The fear is self-protecting where love is self-giving. Love moves towards others where fear shrinks away from others. And these verses tell us that love is greater than fear, because love can cast out fear. And that's the wonderful truth. But when you think about the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself, when you do those things, you start casting out fear. And you start living a life of victory. That's what we have. We have realized and remind yourself that you are a child of God and that His Spirit dwells within you, and you're no longer a slave to fear. Remind yourself consistently that God never leaves you nor forsakes you. He is our helper. So what can man do to you? Nothing. Trust in God as He casts out fear. And the Lord, whose word I praise, and God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do for me? Remember the lesson of the sparrows in Matthew. Remember that God deeply cares and values you if you're one of His. And the practical application, practical love drives out fear. Service to God and service to others. And in helping you work through this, sometimes you just need to sit and name that fear. The fear of bridges, actually, when you think about the fear of rolling over a bridge, actually behind that is really the fear of death. You need to pray about your desires and surrender your desires to God. And love God and love others. That'd be the simple three applications that flow from these texts. You want to overcome fear? Name it. Reverse it. Pray about your desires and surrender your desires and love God and love others. Thanks, music team. We'll pray as you come up, and we'll sing a song, and then we've got an announcement from the elders, so we'll do that. Lord, we thank you that your word clearly tells us and instructs us to trust in you, to realize afresh that nothing in our circumstances can harm our relationship and our identity that's in Christ. We thank you for the power of the gospel in our lives. We thank you that your Spirit dwells within. Well, I pray for those who are struggling with fear here today, overwhelming fear. And Father, I pray that we may have an opportunity just to talk and to counsel and just to point in the right direction. That you are our God. You care for us. You love us deeply, and your Spirit dwells within us, not to enslave us again to fear, but to live in the power of love with a strong mind and not intimidated by the things around about us. So, Father, we pray that we'll do business with you today in these issues and seek your Spirit's guidance. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.